Amen. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to all of you that are joining with us on today. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and we are glad in it this morning. We are going to be walking through Psalm 71 this morning. Psalm 71, it is a powerful scripture for us today. One I believe that will encourage us. One that certainly speaks to the dependency on God, speaks to trusting in God's righteousness. It speaks to seeking refuge in God. It speaks to the power of praise and thanksgiving. It speaks to the steadfastness of faith, as well as it speaks to God's deliverance. So it is a mighty, awesome, encouraging word today. Also, we see in there, how we are to remain faithful even in our old age. As time passes, we continue to have birthdays as long as we are on this side. But I'm so glad that the penman of Psalm 71, Pastor Kuiper, lets us know that we are to have an unwavering faith and a trust in God's righteousness as well as his deliverance, despite the adversities and aging that comes along with this, that we can continue to praise God and witness to others of his deeds and his marvelous works in our lives. So this is just such an encouraging passage this morning, encouraging me, you all, to celebrate God's deeds and to know that he delivers us and that he keeps us and that we can find protection in him. It's a wonderful prayer this morning that we will look at on today. So, again, we want to welcome all of you that are joining us here at the Gathering Place Beyond the Walls with Minister Deborah Singleton as your facilitator. Good morning. I hear many of you calling in this morning. Truly, it is a blessing to have you join with us as we walk this Sunday morning, walk through the Word of God, walking in his Word and aligning you all. Most important is aligning our lives to the Word. And it's real. We certainly got a celebration this past week. Sister JJ asked us to pray for her, come alongside her praying Isaiah 53:4-5. And certainly we received a testimony of the manifestations of the power of God. But we are not going to stop praying for you, Sister JJ, that God continues to show up and show you that he is God, the almighty God, the all-knowing God, and the all-sufficient God. We not only pray that for you, but we pray that for others, those that care, for those that may be sick and shut in, those that may need the additional care of a caretaker. We're praying for you as well, for we know and understand the challenges that you face. But know this, that God has not forgotten about you, nor has God forsaken you. And you know that for yourself. So we're going to go ahead and get started this morning. Good morning. Good morning. I heard someone say something. I don't want to run over you. Get started before you speak. Anyone sharing this morning? Anyone like to share before we start? Amen. Amen. I am excited again about our walk through the Word from Psalm 71. In some of your books, those of you that have Sunday school books, it started in the middle of it. But today we want to start at the beginning so that we can get the full passage and context. And as we walk through it using the SOAP method this morning, as we bring the message, the SOAP method is S-O-A-P, looking at the scripture, looking at some observations from what we've read, how do we apply it to our lives, and how do we pray the scripture on today. Again, good morning, and welcome. We're going to open up this morning reading our scripture from Psalms 100 on today. Pastor Kuiper, are you still with us this morning?
Yes, I am.
Amen. We're going to ask if you would please, sir, give us a word of prayer after our scripture this morning. We are going to have Psalm 71 read by our very own Sister Wanda, then our song of praise from Brother Al, and then we'll come back and we will just roll up our sleeves and see what the Lord has to say to us from Psalm 71. Our opening scripture this morning comes from Psalm 100, and it reads, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." I've read Psalms 100 in its entirety in your hearing this morning. As disciples of Christ, we are called to give thanks this morning. We are called to give praise this morning. For you and I, we know that the Lord has been good to us. We know that his love endures forever. And yes, we do know his faithfulness continues through all generations. Let's praise him this morning. Amen.
Amen. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we come on this Sunday morning, Lord God, first day of the week, to give you praise. We praise your holy name because you're worthy of all praise. Father, we lift you up before us today in adoration to your holy name. Father, surely you are a strong tower from the enemy. Sure, you are battle axe in the time of battle. Surely, Father, you are our rock and our salvation. Father, we stand upon you, the solid rock, Jesus Christ, where we stand, knowing that all other ground is considered to be sinking sand. Father, we thank you, Father, because you are a glorious God. You are sovereign and in control of everything in our lives, and for that we say thank you. Glory to your holy name. Father, we confess our shortcomings before you. If there's anything that we've done, Father, that's not pleasing in your sight, have we transgressed or sinned against you, God, we ask for your forgiveness. Father, we know that you're faithful and you're a just God, and you would cleanse us from any unrighteousness. So cleanse us, Father, from all unrighteousness, that we might be able to stand before you today in praise and worship to your holy name. Father, we thank you. We thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the past victories that you have given us, that now we stand today looking forward to the day and tomorrow that you will continue to give us the victory in Jesus' name. Father, we just pray, God, right now, God, that we need healing. There are some people who still need healing. We pray for healing right now in the name of Jesus. There are people on the line who need to be lifted up. We pray, Father, that you would lift them up and strengthen them today in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we pray, Lord God, that whatever we do today on this line, it will be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. We thank you for those that will share scripture, Father. We thank you for those who will offer the word today. And we pray for Dr. Singleton as she brings forth the lesson today. We pray for Uncle John as he brings forth the encapsulation and summary of what has taken place here today. We thank you for Brother Al, who may be singing songs of praise to you today. We thank you, Father, for all who participate and all who are listening on this line today, that we all may be blessed by what takes place, that we can carry it forward in our life to continue to be doers of your word, not just hearing it, but implementing it into our life. So by Holy Spirit, Father, you empowering us to live this life, to live this life that you have called us to live. You called us out from among all to to be a part of this. We accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now we are ready to do what it is that he would have us to do. Strengthen us by the power that you have given us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing in us today. Father, we will always give you glory. We'll always give you honor in whatever we do. And we ask this that you would bless us today. I ask this prayer in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Reggie, for that prayer and taking us to the throne of grace on today. Thank you for praying for us this morning. Amen. Now we have our praise and worship by Brother Al, and we'll be back with you after our song.
We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He's never failed me yet. Can't turn around. We've come this far by faith. We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He's never failed me yet. Can't turn around. We've come this far by faith. Don't be discouraged when troubles get into your life, for he will bear your burden and move all misery and strife. That's why we've come this far by faith. Oh, yeah. Leaning on the Lord. Trusting in his holy word. He's never failed. He's never failed me yet. Can't turn around. We've come this far by faith. Just the other day, I heard a man say he didn't believe in God's word, but I can truly say the Lord has made a way, and he's never failed me yet. That's why we've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He's never failed me yet. Can't turn around. We've come this far by faith. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We have come this far by faith. Amen. Thank you again, Brother Al, for leading us in our praise and worship this morning. Brother Al, I'm going to ask if you would come back again after the reading of our scripture this morning from our sister, Sister Wanda. She will be reading this morning, you all, from Psalm 71. Psalm 71, our scripture this morning. Sister Wanda.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Psalm 71, verses 1 through 21. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. You have given a commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. For you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall continually be of you. I have become as wonder to many, but you are a strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails, for my enemies speak against me. And those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. Let them confound and consume. Let them be confounded and consumed who are adversaries of my life. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek my hurt. For I will hopefully continue, and I will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day. For I do not know their limits. I will go in strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of righteousness of yours only. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous work. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me. Until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Also, your righteousness, O God, is very high. You have done great things, O God. Who is like you? You who have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. May the Lord have blessing to the reading of the word.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, my sister, for reading our word this morning from Psalm 71, verses 1 through 21 this morning. I know that as you all heard the reading of the word, you were able to also capture some nuggets from the word this morning. And we're going to come back and we're going to, as I say, I love to roll up my sleeves and see what the Lord is speaking to us as a community of believers, but what is the Lord speaking to you as an individual believer, a child of the King? Amen. Brother Al, this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Another song of praise, sir.
I am on the battlefield for my Lord. I am on the battlefield for my Lord. And I promised him that I would serve him till I die. I am on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, I am on the battlefield for my Lord. For my Lord, I am on the battlefield for my Lord. And I promised him that I would serve him till I die. I am on the battlefield for my Lord. Now I was alone and idle, and I was a sinner too. I heard the voice from heaven saying there is work to do. I took my master's hand and I joined the Christian band. I am on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, I am on the battlefield for my Lord, for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. And I promised God that I would serve him till I die. I am on the battlefield for my Lord. Ooh, I am on the battlefield for my Lord, for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Ooh. And I promised him that I would serve him till I die. I am on the battlefield for my Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Brother Al, we thank you for leading us in our praise and worship on this morning. Amen. Amen. As we move into our message on today, again, thanking Pastor Kuiper, thanking Sister Wanda, and again, thanking Brother Al and all of you that have come alongside us this morning in this time of concentration, in this time of looking into the Word of God. Lord, I pray right now that you would take full control of my mind, my eyes, God, my mind, my thinking right now, God. And Lord, I pray right now that the Word would come forth with accuracy as well as conciseness, oh God, that we would hear what you are saying to us as disciples of Christ, both as a community, but as well as individuals. We thank you again for the souls that are gathered here in this place. Lord, I pray right now that they will be encouraged by your word. Encouraged, God, to carry out Matthew 28:19-20. Encouraged, oh God, allowing the fruit of the Spirit to come alive in their lives, Galatians 5:22-23, as they walk in love, 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. We thank you for it again in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Again, we want to say good morning to each of you that are gathered here with us at the gathering place Beyond the Walls here in Macon, Georgia. This morning, as we look at this particular scripture, Psalm 71, I pray that you have your pen and your paper, your Bible or your device ready and to take some notes today, but not only take some notes, but be encouraged by what the psalmist is saying to us as we grow older. There is a message, Pastor Kuiper, for us as disciples today, a message that speaks to us as to who we need to depend on, who we need to put our trust in, who we need to seek refuge in, and how we need to stand as disciples steadfast in our faith. Even though our bodies may not be able to do what it used to do, we may not be able to run or walk as fast, But I want us to know something. Even though this physical body may be fading, our spirit must come alive in Christ Jesus. We must allow the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8, Holy Spirit that dwells, Sister JJ, on the inside of us to come alive in our lives. Yes, we know this old tent is going to get some holes in it. It's going to get some tears in it. But one thing about it is we have a spirit that grows even more being on fire for the Lord. How to remain faithful, you all. How to celebrate God's deeds in our lives and how God delivers us from our enemies. So when I open this scripture up and I look at it this morning, and again, sister, thank you for reading it from Psalm 71 this morning. And one of the things that I see, my sisters and brothers, I see a prayer request. I see a prayer request. Then I see not only a prayer request, but I see the development of a personal relationship and a personal walk with God. A walk, you all, that just did not start right now, but a walk that had been developed by the psalmist over a number of years. Not only I see a prayer request, not only do I see a personal relationship and a personal walk that had been nurtured down through the years, but I also see something else. I see that the psalmist had found a proven resource in the Lord, which enabled him to be strong on the inside, even though his body was growing weaker and his enemies were powerful. Yes, three P's, a prayer request, a personal relationship, and a personal walk, Brother Al, that had been nurtured down through the year. What that means is when I meet with a trial, I meet with a situation or a circumstance, Mother Cora, I can look back over the corridors of my life and see how the Lord has brought me. How can I do that? Because I have a personal relationship. I am born again, and I am connected to the true vine, and I know Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me. And God has been a proven resource over and over and over again. I don't know about you, but God has been my deliverer. God has been my healer. God has been my all and all. And the psalmist this morning is giving a testimony. He's given a testimony of the greatness of God. He's given a testimony of God's righteousness. He's given a testimony to generations to come that you can depend on God. You can depend on God. The word of God says, put not your trust in princesses or man, but put your trust in God. I don't put my trust in an IRA or 401k or the ability to be able to get this or that, but I put my trust, I'm depending on God. If you don't get anything else this morning, I want us to get this part of it. We must develop, we must nurture our relationship with God. Let's keep on going this morning. I told you all that I wanted to use the SOAP method to bring the message today, the SOAP method. So the S, Sister Wanda, is the scripture, Psalm 71. Many commentators, let's look at the penman of this particular passage of scripture. Many commentators believe this is a psalm of David. And it is his prayer and his trust in God in his latter years. Yes, when we look at Psalm 71 in our Bible, we don't see a penman being identified. But Pastor Kuiper, many believe David being the penman of this, because many of the words that are identified here in this psalm are identical to some of David's earlier psalms that had been written. regardless of who wrote it, Psalm 71 offers some unique lessons for maintaining a lifelong walk of faith. That's what we want. That's what we want. We want a lifelong walk of faith. When I get to a storm, get through a door that seems, or a mountain that seems impassable, and I can't get through, I want us to know this morning that it is because of my lifelong walk of faith, my lifelong trusting in God, my lifelong personal relationship and my personal walk with him that has been nourished through the word of God. Let me keep on going this morning. When we look at the penman of Psalm 71, the Bible calls upon believers to offer their lives as a living sacrifice for Jesus. We find that in Romans 12, 1 and 2. That's what we are called to offer our lives as a living sacrifice, as a living testimony, so that those that do not know God will get to know him through looking at our lives. For us as believers to fulfill our calling as a living sacrifice, we should make a lifelong commitment to Jesus. This should include, the first thing, Sister Gloria, it should include, is number one, is trust. T-R-U-S-T. The second thing that this lifelong commitment to Jesus should include is dependency. Dependence, depending on him. What does Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 talks about? Tells us, lean not on your own understanding in all your ways. Guess what? We are to depend upon God. Go on. The third thing that we glean from this Psalm 71 is not only a trust in God, not only a dependency on God, but we also see perseverance. Perseverance is, I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm not going to quit. No matter how hot the fire gets in the trial, I am going to stay in there. I'm going to stay on the road. I'm going to stay on my journey, because Isaiah 43 and 2 tells me, it says, when you go through the waters, God made a promise that he would be with us. When I go to the doctor, and the doctor may have this kind of news, or when I go to this or that, they may have this news, but guess what? I'm going to persevere, because I'm not operating in myself. I'm not relying on my own knowledge, but I'm relying on the God who promised me that he would never leave me nor forsake me in Hebrews 13:5b. Here's the other thing, Pastor Kuiper, that being this living sacrifice and making this lifelong commitment to Jesus, that I'm going to continually seek him. I'm going to seek his face and not so much his hand. Many times people want what God wants. They want God to give. But what about our responsibility as disciples? What about our accountability as disciples? I am part of this lifelong commitment to Jesus, as the psalmist speaks this morning, is to seek the face of God. Here's the other thing, another part of this lifelong commitment, and we see it in Psalm 71, is evangelism. We cannot just keep this to ourselves. Mother Cora, we are called, right there in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, we are called to be disciples that carry the word to a dying world so that we can be able to say to them when they ask us, what must I do to be saved? We got to be like Paul and Silas was in that jail when the jailer was about to kill himself. And then Paul said, put down the sword. All of us are here. But then that jailer cried out, Pastor Kuiper, what must I do to be saved? What was he saying? Well, how can I have what you got? How can I have this very thing that can cause the chains to be loose, that can cause the prison door to be open? Yes, yes, yes. There's evangelism as we look at Psalm 71. Here's something else, Sister JJ. I see, my brothers and sisters, I see gratitude coming from the psalmist. I see him thanking God for how God has brought him, how God has been his refuge, how God has been his fortress. And I'm talking to some people this morning that knows how God has protected them on the highways, how God has protected them in places they should not have been. But they were there, and God kept them, and God brought them out. I'm talking to some folks this morning that would have lost their minds if God had not taken the reins of your mind and kept you. I know what I'm talking about this morning. Notice this, Uncle John, this lifelong commitment to Jesus. I'm sold out. I'm surrendered all to him. I see something else in Psalm 71, Pastor Kuiper. I see worship. Worship. I see the psalm is moving from praise to worship. See, praise, we can praise as a group, you all. But when it comes to worship, worship is a one-on-one a relationship with God. It's an audience of one. Me and God communing together. That means I have shielded out. I'm not worried about the folks around me. I'm not worried about what they are saying. I'm not worried about what they're doing. So the psalmist lets me know that there's a point in time, Deborah, that you move from praise to you move to worship. What is the best way to worship, Mother Cora? The best way to worship is walking in obedience. Obedience to God's word. Obedience to God's will. Aligning my will with the will of God. Lord, whatever you desire for me, that's what I want. Whatever you have for me, that's what I want. I don't want to pray outside. We need to make a note this morning. I don't want to pray outside of the will of God. Here's something else this morning that as I listen to my sister reading Psalm 71, here's something that I observed, Pastor Kuiper, my brother says, so I observe this. It includes, this passage, it includes maintaining. See, when you maintain something, a maintenance on a car, that means you take it in every 3,000 or 5,000 or 7,000 miles to do what? To get it checked out, to make sure the air filters, make sure the oil has been changed, make sure the engine is running and no skipping in it. You make sure the motor is where it needs to be, the tires are all right. So if you can take your car in for maintenance, if you go to the doctor to get that yearly checkup for them to check and see the making sure the valves are working, making sure the arteries are working, making sure the heart is working. If we can do these physical maintenance kinds of things, what about our spiritual relationship with God? It includes that we're going to have this lifelong commitment to Jesus. It includes maintaining an intimate, obedient relationship with him and submitting you all to the Holy Spirit leadership. What did Jesus go to the Father and ask him to do? He says, Father, you know I'm getting ready to leave. I'm coming back home to you. But I want you to give them somebody like me that will walk with them, that will talk with them, that will be their confidant, that will be the one that will guide in all of their footsteps. So God sent the Holy Spirit, and that's who lives on the inside of us, those of us that are born again, that we have to submit. Submit to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to maintain this lifelong commitment to Jesus. We got to trust him. We got to depend on him. We got to persevere. When the going gets tough, we got to get tougher. We got to seek his face, and we got to evangelize, telling others, look what the Lord has done. We got to thank him and we got to worship him. So as we turn looking at Psalm 71 this morning and walking through this psalm, how God's way for us to grow old is for us to develop a walk with him right now. A walk that involves that deep personal knowledge of God. One that you have experienced God. One that you know that God is not going to leave you. One that you know that even in the midst of whatever you're in, God is not going to leave you. This type of relationship includes a hope. It includes a walk. It includes a lifestyle of ministry for God. It includes, as long as we have life and breath, we can show and we can tell and we can sing of the greatness of our God to the next generation. That's the way we, if you want to leave your children, your grandchildren, your neighbors something, leave them with the word of God. Leave them with an example that they can say, I saw God operate in her life. I saw God operate in his life. Even though they didn't have money in the bank, even though they didn't have the finance of cars and the finance of this and that, they had a God that they allowed the word of God to dwell in them. Richly, Colossians 3:16. This morning, as we look at the scripture, Psalm 71, we looked at who penned it. We looked at some of the themes that you find in this psalm. We looked at some of the topics that you find in this psalm. But let's look at some of the observations, the O, as we present this. What do we observe, poet? Well, what do we see, Sister JJ? What do we see, my other sisters and brothers on the line, as we walk through Psalm 71? That the first thing I see you all is trust, verses 1 through 3. I see David professed that he would seek refuge in God. I see that David sought God's refuge and his protection. We know, I said it earlier, trust make a lifelong commitment. We as disciples must make a lifelong commitment to trusting God. This is who David, this is who the psalmist put their trust in. Make no mistake this morning. That psalmist lets us know of his past reliance on God. He lets us know his present relationship and his present reliance on God. David lets us know the first observation is trust. The faithful servant of God may be assured that he or she will not cast them off in old age, nor forsake them when their strength fails. This is what we have to understand as disciples of Christ. God will never push us to the side. God will never overlook us. Let me tell you something else about growing old this morning, is that when we look at verse number 9 and verse number 18, God will never sideline us. Uncle John, God will never ignore us. God will never leave us behind. Many times as those elders get older, many times they are sidelined. Many times they are ignored. Many times they are treated as though they don't have anything to bring to the table. What God is reassuring us this morning is that he will never sideline us. He will never ignore us. He will never leave us behind, even though we may be growing old. We may be growing gray. We may be walking a little bit slower, but God still has purpose for your life. God still has a call and assignment on your life. You don't retire when you turn 65. You don't retire when you turn 70 or 72. You don't retire when you turn 90. God has an assignment on your life. I want to say something this morning. Just as God is faithful to us, he expects us to be faithful in our commitment to him. So David reminds us in verses 1 through 3 that we have to make a lifelong commitment to trusting God. David lets us know here that he sought God's refuge. He sought God's protection. David lets us know that he placed his trust in God. David prays here that he might never be made ashamed of his dependence upon God. Notice his petition this morning. Notice that his petition, he comes boldly to the throne of grace. He comes to a God that he knows that loves him. He comes to a God that he knows is faithful. David always took refuge in God. And notice this. I also observed something else here this morning. When others attacked him, David always placed his trust in God to save him. David trusted in God even when he could not have known the outcome. Remember David when he faced Goliath. Remember David when he faced the bear. Remember him when he faced the lion, you all. David was a shepherd boy. But David lets us know this morning, he trusted in God even when he could not have known the outcome of the situation. Proverbs 3 and 5, as I stated earlier this morning, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. What does God say to us in 1 Peter 5 and 7 in his word? He says, cast all your anxiety on him because what? He cares for you. Somebody needs to hear me this morning that God cares for you. And you got to put your trust in him. And guess what? All you got to do is keep on nurturing your relationship with God. Don't put your relationship with God on autopilot. You got to nurture that relationship. You got to talk with him every day through the day. You got to read his word and align to his word. Let me read this. Even when it appears that evil is prevailing, you should still trust God. The temptation of some is to turn to a worldly solution. But God wants us as his children to place our trust in him alone and nothing else. Lord, my trust is in you. You have never failed me. You have never forsaken me. You told me whatever I go through, you told me to be strong. You told me to be courageous. You told me not to be afraid. You told me not to tremble at seeing my enemies because you are with me. We as disciples of Christ, sometimes we are tempted to turn to a solution that is not of God. But God is speaking to us this morning. Put your trust in me because I got this. And when God says, I got this, God got it. Here's the other thing when we look at verses 1 through 3. God was also David's rock. David repeatedly praised God as his rock and his deliverer. From our youth until our old age, God should be the foundation of our life. This rock is Jesus. So David reminds us in verses 1 through 3, he says, Lord, you are my refuge. That means you are my protection. Don't let me down. Save me from my enemies, for you are just. Rescue me. Bend down your ear and listen to my plea and save me. Notice this is a prayer that is prayed, and we as disciples of Christ can pray this same prayer. Verse 3, be to me a great protecting rock where I am always welcome, safe from all attacks. For you have issued the order to save me. Notice how the psalmist speaks to God, how he talks to God, because guess what? He has developed a personal relationship with God. God is a proven resource to him. He's tried it. I've tried it, and I know what God can do. So notice this as he petitions God, as he talks to God. Let's go on. The first thing, I hope you wrote down the word trust. I hope you wrote down that even in our youth, until our old age, God should be the foundation of our life. That's where you got to build your life on, the foundation of God, not build your life on these temporary things. It's temporary because the stock market can go up. And it can go down. As a matter of fact, the bottom can fall out of it. But let me tell y'all this morning, if the bottom falls out of the stock market, guess what? I'm not going to fall. The bottom is not going to fall out of my life because my life is built upon the promises and the word of God. We must allow God to be our protector. We must allow God to be our refuge. And that's how we can make a lifelong commitment, Brother Al, in trusting God. How many times has he brought you out? How many times have you seen the faithfulness of God down through the years? When I look back, oh, I don't want to go back, but when I look back and see how God has brought me, this is what David said. Put your trust in God because he'll be your refuge. He'll be your protector. You can call on him and he will answer. You can call on him and he will listen to your plea. Oh, let's keep on going this morning. Here's the second word I want you to write down. Dependence. Dependence. Depend upon God throughout your entire life. Look at verses 4 through 6. Rescue me, O God, from these unjust and cruel men. O Lord, you alone are my hope. I want you all to notice something. Notice this prayer that he's praying. He's having a conversation with God. It's an intimate conversation. Notice how he talks to God. He said, oh, Lord, you alone are my hope. What he's saying is, I'm not just depending on you and depending on some others. No, I'm dependent on you. He says, my hope is in you. I have trusted you where? From my what? Childhood. Yes, you have been with me from birth and have helped me constantly. No wonder I'm always praising you. Notice this. David, the psalmist, talks about his dependency upon God. His dependency upon God throughout his entire life. David, you all, proclaimed that he had depended upon God since he was an infant, his early years of life. In his old age now, when he lacked the strength to fight his enemies, David pleaded with God that he had depended upon him alone and not his own abilities since the day God created him. Notice how David talks to God. God, I have depended upon you. You're the one that has been keeping me. You're the one alone that my hope is in. This is that way we need to develop our personal relationship with God. So, Lord, you're the one that's kept me. You're the one when I was in a place I shouldn't have been. You're the one that kept the bullets. You're the one that brought me out. You're the one. Notice this. Verse 6 again, I want to read it. Yes, you have been with me from birth and have helped me over and over again. And notice what he says. Minister Braxton, he said, no wonder I'm always praising you. I don't know about you, but that's an exclamation mark in my Bible that I'm reading from this morning. What that means is that I'm always telling God thank you. I'm always giving God praise. I got an unceasing praise, and Lord, I thank you because you're the one that brought me, the old people used to say, that brought me from the rocking of my cradle right down to where I am now. So the psalmist is saying, I can't help myself because when I look back and see how good you've been to me. I look back and see that you've been my rock. I look back and see how you rescued me. I look back how you saved me from my enemies when they wanted to see my downfall, when they wanted to see me just go under. When I look back, the psalmist says, I can't help myself but to praise you. Look at verse 7. My success, at which so many stand amazed, is because you are my mighty protector. See, we got to get personal with this morning. You got to get personal when you go in your prayer closet. You're not going to go in there saying, well, you know what minister said, and Lord, you know what she said there. No, you got to go in there and say, Lord, I know that the way I was able to come out of this is because you are the one that brought me out. I know you were the one that protected me. I know that you are my mighty protector. And all day long, verse number 8, I will praise and honor you, O God, for all that you've done for me. Notice this way in which he approaches God. I observe. These are some of my observations. I notice this prayer request. I notice how he goes to God. I notice how he tells me, Deborah, don't take your problem to the judge. Don't take your problem to this person. They can pray with you. They can pray for you. But take it to the person that can do some about it. The psalmist, he lets me know. He said, Deborah, you got to trust God. You got to depend on God alone. That's what David says this morning. Throughout his life, David placed his hope, you all, in God. Even as a young boy, when he tended the sheep as a lonely shepherd, David placed his hope in God alone. He knew that God had been with him since he formed David in his mother's womb. Throughout our life, Jesus also wants us to place our hope in him alone. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and reliable, Uncle John, and one which enters within the veil, Hebrews 6 and 19. So as I look at trust, then I look at dependency. I look at what the psalmist says, what David says. Not only my trust in God's righteousness, but my dependency upon God, my dependency of seeking my refuge in God. Notice the power of praise and thanksgiving. Grandmama taught us, y'all, when somebody does something for you, we need to tell them thank you. What about God? God woke us up this morning. He started us on our way. He regulated our mind. He's given us the activities of our limb. He provided a Savior that will come, that provided the bridge between God and us. We got something to tell him thank you for. I can't give your testimony this morning, but you can. You know what it's like. The Psalms say, I will trust in the Lord until he calls me home. I'm going to stay on the battlefield until he calls me home. Here's the third thing the psalmist shows us, Minister Braxton, in our walk this morning. Here's something else I observed. Not only trust, not only a dependency in God throughout my entire life, not giving up on God, but knowing God is always there, and I can always call on him. Here's the third thing, the word perseverance, perseverance, persevering throughout my life, persevering in faith. This is a must. Notice this as we look at verses 9 through 11, and now, in my old age, don't set me aside. Oh, the psalmist is talking to us this morning. I don't know about you all, but I'm seeing a few gray hairs. I'm seeing sometimes that there may be a little ache here, a little pain there. I might see a little bit of slowing down. But notice how the psalmist talks to God. He says, and now. That means that he's gotten older. He said, don't set me aside. Don't forsake me now when my strength is failing. My enemies are whispering. This is what they're whispering, Sister Wanda. God has forsaken him. Now we can get him. There's no one to help him now. Look at verse 12. Oh, God. Don't stay away. Come quickly. Help. destroy them, cover them with failure and disgrace, these enemies of mine. Notice how the psalmist talks about persevering throughout our lives and knowing that this perseverance, you all, comes through faith. David's faith caused many to marvel because David's enemies had caused the public to turn against him. His mockers wondered why David continued to cling to God's promises. Yes, his enemies, you all, you can see it right there. They began to whisper. They began to say God has forsaken him. And the reason why they were saying that is because David was still having trials in his life. He was still having some storms in his life. And his enemies were thinking, well, since he's old now, he shouldn't be having any situation. He shouldn't be having any problems. But notice this. Even though they were whispering, God has forsaken him. Now we can get him. Now we can take him down. There's nobody there to help him. But notice what David calls out to God. We as disciples of Christ must continue to persevere even as we get older, even as our bodies may get weaker. Guess what? My strength in God must get stronger. David knew that God would be faithful to fulfill his promises to him and allow him to serve him until his death. I admonish us this morning as believers that we have to turn to Jesus for strength when others mock us for following his word and his will. Many times the enemies will come. Many times friends will come and say, I thought you trusted God. If God loved you so much, how come you having this problem? How come you having this financial problem? How come you are having this situation with your children or your grandchildren? How come this is happening? Let me tell you all something this morning. Turn to Jesus. He will strengthen you when they come and when they poke fun at you. Let me tell you something. When you experience hatred or mocking from following Jesus' word, you got to pray for strength that you may endure. The other thing you got to pray for is you have to pray, and the word said pray for those who what? Persecute you. We have to persevere. We can't throw in the towel. When they say, how come this happening to you? How come when you went to the doctor and this shows up on your report? Notice this. David teaches us this morning, the psalmist, he says, pray for God's strength that we may be able, Uncle John, to persevere, that we will not throw in the towel when burdens come. Believers must also trust God to give them the strength to persevere through their old age. Even to your old age, Isaiah 46:4 says, even to your old age, I will be the same. And even to your graying years, I will carry you. I have done it. And I will bear you, and I will carry you, and I will save you. Notice what God says to us. I love it. I love God. Notice what he says to us. Brother Al in Isaiah 46:4, even to your old age, I will do what? I will be the same as I was in your younger years. Even when you're gray and your hair gets gray, I will still carry you. God says, I've done it, I will bear you, and I will carry you, and I will say, that, you all, that is shouting good news this morning, that others may put us to the side, others may sideline us, others may ignore us because we are old and we may not be able to stand as long, our breath may not be able to last as long as others, but God says, I still got work for you to do. I will never leave you behind. David lets us know this morning that Jesus promises to bless us if we persevere. James 1:12 says, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Don't you dare throw in the towel. We have to pray for God's strength to persevere. We have to pray for God's strength to persevere and never become complacent. We as disciples of Christ can never become complacent and say, they ain't got no use for me. Let me tell y'all something. There is a purpose and there's a call on all of our lives on this land, no matter how old you are. We have to pray for God to give us strength to persevere. Here's the next thing I want us to look at. And when we look at verses 13, well, I covered 13. Let's look at, let me capitalize verses 9 through 13 again, remembering what the psalmist says as he calls out to God, telling him not to set him aside, not to forsake him. Even though his enemies are saying these things, notice in 13, he says, destroy them, cover them with failure and disgrace, these enemies of mine. What the psalmist is calling out to God is to what? Rescue him. He's asking God for God's help this morning. David cried out for God's presence. As his enemies sought to kill him in his weakened state, David cried out for God's presence to bring him comfort, to bring him protection, and to bring him justice. God also wants us to make a lifelong habit of seeking him out with all of our will. What is the will of God when we face our trials and situations? David lets us know, the psalmist lets us know that we are to seek out God's presence without delay. Notice David said, he cried out, hurry up, hurry to my aid. Never delay in seeking God's presence, you all. You will find Jesus when you seek him with all your heart. Notice what Matthew 6:33 says, seek first his kingdom. That's the things of God, the promises of God. And that he will provide for us. Here's the other thing. Let me say this and say it loud and clear this morning. Leave vengeance to God. Instead of retaliating against his enemies, David left it to God to bring justice and the plans of his enemies. Throughout his life, David always left vengeance to God. We have to leave vengeance to God and not try to retaliate after those who do us wrong. Leave it to God. Put it in God's hand. We have to be patient for him to act according to his perfect timing. We can't hurry God up. God wants to give them an opportunity to move from being an enemy, a stranger of his, to being a child. So notice what the psalmist says. He calls out for the help of God. He calls out for the comfort of God. He calls out for the protection of God. He calls out for the justice of God. But he leaves vengeance to God. He leaves his enemies to God. He don't say, God, let me get them. He said, God, you take care of them. You do what you do. But I'm just asking you, God, to keep me, to comfort me, to protect me. Let's go on to look at verses 14 through 18 this morning. When you look at verses 14 through 18, it says, I will keep on expecting you to help me. Notice the expectations, you all, that the psalmist had of God. That's the same expectation I have of God, is that he's going to comfort me. He's going to strengthen me. He's going to protect me. He's going to bring about justice in his own time, and I don't have to worry about that. My desire, what I'm supposed to do as a disciple, is to seek his face. My role as a disciple is to trust him. My role as a disciple is to depend upon him. My role as a disciple is to walk in his word, walk by his word, and align my will with his will. I see evangelism this morning. I don't know if you see it, but I see it. We have to make a lifelong commitment to evangelism, and that evangelism first starts in our home, in our Jerusalem. Look at verses 14 through 18. I will keep on expecting you to help me. I praise you, what? More and more. I cannot count the times when you have faithfully rescued me from danger. I will tell everyone how good you are and of your constant daily care. I walk in the strength of the Lord God. I tell everyone that you alone are just and good. Notice this. I'm going to keep on reading. 17. Oh, God, you have helped me from my earliest childhood, and I have constantly testified to others of the wonderful things you do. Verse 18, and now that I'm old and gray, don't forsake me. Give me time to tell this new generation and their children too about all your mighty miracles. Y'all, this is a shouting, these some shouting verses this morning. Notice what the psalmist says, Pastor Kuiper. David proclaimed that he would declare God's mighty and righteous deeds to everyone. We cannot, as disciples of Christ, keep our mouth closed. We got to tell others about the wonderful works of God. We tell them about everything else. We ask them about everything else, ask them how their job is. We ask them how their career is. We ask them how their health is. But we got to start declaring the mighty acts and the mighty deeds of God. And we got to tell it everywhere we go. Notice what the psalmist says, from his youth until his old age, David never ceased to boast of God's faithfulness, his righteousness, his wondrous deeds. And I don't have to wait, Sister Wanda, for testimony time at the church to talk about the goodness of God. I don't have to wait until somebody said, can you give us a testimony today? I have to be a walking testimony, Uncle John, that like David, he never ceased to boast of God's faithfulness, how faithful he was. Even when I was not faithful, God is and was faithful. I got to tell the world about his righteousness, Brother Al. I got to tell the world about his wondrous deed. God wants us to share our testimony about his faithfulness in his life, in our lives. Some of us got to understand. We know some people got some mighty testimonies of healing, mighty testimonies of deliverance. And we keep it our mouths closed because we don't want them to say something to us. Oh, there she is. She always talking about God. She always talking about what God has done. Yes, I am. So that you can catch the fire of the Holy Ghost in your life to know that God wants to do some mighty works in your life as well. This is Matthew 28, 19 through 20, right here in this scripture. The psalmist says, I walk in the strength of the Lord. That's what we got to tell them. I may be old, I might be slow, but I walk in the strength of the Lord. And I'm willing to tell everyone just how good my God is. I'm willing to testify of the wondrous things he's done for me. I'm willing to tell others and tell a new generation. And you all, this new generation, this Gen X, this Gen Z, whatever they are called, they need to know about the goodness of God. Because when we are off the scene, they are going to have some problems. They're going to have some storms. They're going to have some trials. They need to know who they can depend on. Too many of them are depending on their Facebook friends, depending on their high school friends, depending on their spouses, depending on their job, depending on their degree. But what the psalmist says, Uncle John, right here, is that we got to tell this new generation and we got to tell their children about the mighty miracles of God, how he will rescue them, how he will keep them, how he will bring them through the storms of life. We got to open our mouths and stop having a hush mouth. Hallelujah. Why don't you post it on your Facebook page? Why don't you send an Instagram? Why don't you tell them about the mighty miracle? Tell them about your life, how God brought you, how you were in a place you shouldn't have been, but God brought you out. How when you had to rub nickels and dimes together to be able to get clothes for their parents, to be able to wear the school and shoes, you got to start talking to them, because guess what? They're not going to get it from the street. They're not going to get it from the world. They need to hear from us who truly have a testimony. Mother Cora, Mother Neil. We know what God has done. We know how he has brought us. We know how he has kept us. I don't care how much they say that's old-fashioned. I don't care how much they say they got it together. They're going to face a storm in their life, and they're going to realize that degree, that schooling, that job, that other person is not the one that's going to be able to bring them through. It is the Lord. It is the Lord's doing. Hallelujah, this morning. We got to be evangelists. We got to be evangelists. In our home, evangelists amongst our nieces and nephews and our grandchildren, our great-grands and the neighbor children. We got to be testimonies. We got to be the one that declares the wondrous deeds of the Lord. We got to be the one that proclaim the name of God amongst our brothers and our sisters. We got to let them know that my hope is in Christ Jesus. He wants us to share our testimony. He wants us to be evangelists. You got a testimony this morning. Every one of us on this line, you got a testimony that you are able to say, look what the Lord has done. He brought me. He brought me out. He brought me over mountains. He brought me through the rivers when I didn't know whether or not I was going to make it or not. Thought I was going to lose my mind. Thought I was going to, but notice that God kept me. He brought me. My question this morning, are you sharing Jesus' light inside of you with others? You are the light of the world. Let me say this morning. You are a city that sits on a hill, Uncle John, that cannot be hid. You are the salt. Your light must shine before people in such a way that they may see your good works, the good works that God is doing inside of you, that they may glorify your Father who is in heaven. We got to point people to Jesus. When they ask us, how did you make it? It was Jesus. How were you able to raise all those children? And it was Jesus. How are you able to still praise God and the doctor? It's Jesus. And as I close this morning, looking at verses 19, your power and goodness, Lord, reach to the highest heaven. You have done such wonderful things. Where is there another God like you? Oh, I love it. Notice how the psalmist talks this morning. There ain't nobody like you. Can't nobody do this. Can't nobody work these mighty miracles. Can't nobody has this kind of power. Notice what it says in verse 20. You have let me sink down deep in desperate problems. But notice this. But you will bring me back to life again. That means you're going to restore me. You're going to revive me up from the depths of the earth. You will give me greater honor than before and turn again and comfort me. God never promised us that we would not have trials. He never promised us we wouldn't have troubles. But he made a promise that he would be with us. And notice this. Notice what the psalmist said. Notice what David said. No matter the trial, I'm always going to be grateful to God. David praised God for his holy character. David praised God for being unlike any other with his faithfulness, any other with his righteousness, any other with his love, his protection, and his comforting presence. Notice David gives thanks to that God's unconditional love and faithfulness is unlike any other. There is no one like my God. One that could bring you, can't you see the children of Israel? Moses' song of the deliverance after God had parted the Red Sea and destroyed Pharaoh's army. Who is like you among the gods? There is no one like our God. No one that matches his holiness. No one that matches his awesomeness. No one that matches his working wonders. No one. David lets us know that we must be grateful that God's mercy and grace includes restoration. Too many, this represented David's faith that God would restore his lost kingdom during Absalom's rebellion. But I want us to know this morning, God will restore us, and he will make us into a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says so. But we as disciples of Christ must develop a deep knowledge of God. We must be willing to be living testimonies. Uncle John, we must have a habit of praise. We must learn to praise God when trials come. We must learn to praise God with his sunshine. We must learn to praise and trust God. We must have a habit of hope in God alone. And we must develop a lifestyle of ministry for God, a lifestyle of ministry. So how do I apply this lesson to my life? I put my trust completely in God. I draw closer to God right now, building my relationship with him by reading his word and walking in obedience. How do I apply this lesson? I don't let the storms of life take my eyes off of Jesus. I apply this lesson this morning by walking and being that living testimony of the mighty deeds of God. How do I apply? I apply by carrying out Matthew 28:19-20. Through sharing the marvelous deeds that God has done and sharing Romans 10:9-10, encouraging the saints, those that are already connected to the true vine, telling them, be steadfast, be firm, be immovable. My prayer point this morning is this. Lord, I want to have a lifestyle of evangelism. Mold and make me into the earthen vessel filled with the Holy Ghost and perseverance to stay on the battlefield. Yes, Brother Al, you didn't know what my prayer point was going to be this morning. You didn't know that I was going to talk about staying on the battlefield. It's just a confirmation this morning of this lesson that God is speaking to us as disciples. Yes, we are growing old each day. But let me tell you something. I got an unwavering faith in my Heavenly Father, that even if my steps get shorter, I still can tell somebody about Jesus. I can still tell them what Jesus lives and that Jesus saves. Yes, he'll give me a ministry, Sister JJ. I may not be able to leave my house, but he'll give a ministry to me called the wrong number, right number ministry. People call you and say, I got the wrong number, but it's really the right number, because I can tell them about Jesus. Yes, some are going to hang up, but there's going to be somebody that's going to need it, somebody that's burning, somebody that's hurting, that needs a testimony, need to be encouraged, somebody that don't even know Jesus. God, even when I can't leave my home, God is still going to give us a ministry that we can do mail outs. We can call on the phone and encourage one another. We still can use these social media platforms to be able to let somebody know about God. But Uncle John, I know you'll get me. If I don't look at verse 22 through 24, just hit it one moment. Notice what the psalmist said. I'm going to praise you with music, telling of your faithfulness to all your promises. Oh, Holy One of Israel, notice this, you all. God has a way. He's given us each maybe a different way to praise him. But knowing that our praise go to him that is authentic and that is real. Notice what the psalmist said. Not only am I going to praise you with music, not only am I going to tell of your faithfulness, but notice this, Sister Wanda, I'm going to shout and I'm going to sing your praises for redeeming me, for bringing me out, for protecting me, for keeping me. And Mother Cora, I see verse 24. I will talk to others all day long about your justice and about your goodness. Justice means let God handle it. Don't you try to handle it. Don't you try to retaliate. You let God handle it. Notice, for all who tried to hurt me have been disgraced and dishonored. I put them in the hands of the Lord. They were already there. But notice what David said. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to tell of your faithfulness. Nobody's going to put no gag order on me. I'm going to tell them about your promises, how you kept me. I'm going to shout. Oh, Pastor Kuiper, I see it here. I'm going to sing your praises for keeping me, for redeeming me. And I'm going to talk about it all the day long. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me. Thank you for protecting me. Thank you for being a faithful God, that you say you're not going to put me out to pasture. I don't have to worry about retiring. You're never going to sideline me. You're never going to ignore me. You're never going to leave me behind. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for keeping us, molding us, and using us until you take us home. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Dr. Singleton, for that powerful word and message. I'm just going to say one thing as I heard you talk. I'm just going to mention something. I don't want to be a hush-mouth Christian. I don't want to be a hush-mouth Christian. I want to make sure I'm speaking up for the Lord. So that's my takeaway nugget for this lesson today. And I want to open it up for comments from all the saints that's on the line. Any saints on the line that want to make comments concerning our lesson today, this is the time that you can do that. Amen. Amen.
Good morning. Praise God for the morning. Thank you, Minister Singleton, for your words of encouragement, letting us know that we have to keep persevering, keep opening our mouth. We don't have to be concerned whether anyone hears it or not. All we have to do is be obedient and put it forth. Put it out there. Somebody's going to be listening. Somebody's going to hear. If it wasn't, God wouldn't tell us to do it. If he told us to do it, he know that there's going to be somebody to listen and someone to hear, someone to receive. And this is just not a teenage moment. This is a continuous. Like you said, it goes on and on. And even when your head is gray, your hair has turned gray. Not your head, but your hair has turned gray. Your steps have gotten shorter. You're still stepping. Whether it take you 20 minutes to make 5 steps, you're still stepping. That's called persevering. That's being called encouragement. That's being willing to share what you have with someone else. And these are the things that God had for us to do. We are saying that we are his disciples. If we are his disciples, although he was at the point of death, that he didn't stop. He didn't stop reaching out. He didn't stop pouring in to others. So we have no excuse. If I'm a disciple, I have no excuse. I have to continue to walk in righteousness. There is no end to righteousness. So I just bid you Godspeed and pray that you will continue to hear what the Lord is saying unto you and continue to press your way regardless. You don't have to have a crowd to press your way. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mother Cora, for those words of encouragement and the words of encouragement that you bring just by you coming to the line and being steadfast in your faith, regardless of circumstances, and how you have shared with me offline in terms of facing adversities and facing your own trials and tribulations, and how you can continue to praise God, how you can continue to pray in confidence, and how you can continue to brag on God as to how he has brought you and how he continues to keep you. So I thank you this morning for those words of encouragement, and that I can see it in your life shining through. So thank you. Thank you for being that beacon of light.
To God be the glory. All glory belong to him. Nothing I done, God. He's still in front.
Amen. Amen. I like that. He's still in front. Amen. 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 Any other comments this morning from just looking at this intimate relationship that is shown here in Psalm 71, even just the power of praise and thanksgiving in our lives? Any other comments from our sister brothers on the line this morning?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Sister JJ.
Good morning. On July the 12th of 2012, I had my mastectomy done. So on July the 12th, which was Friday, 2024, I am 12 years cancer-free.
Hallelujah.
And I can say there is a leak in this old building.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
But I kept the faith.
Praise God.
Faith.
Hallelujah.
And keep prayed up.
Keep praying.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
God be the glory. God be the glory.
Amen.
His will, his way. He has a
way.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's
Amen.
A journey. That's a journey. Sister JJ has been on it. It's a journey. It's a journey.
Yes,
I remember the journey. I remember the journey. And
yes.
her faithfulness, knowing that God is faithful to her, was faithful to her as well, and her confidence in God, and her coming to the line this morning just to brag on God, to brag on God that
yes.
He's her source of hope. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Her trust in God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What a journey. It was a journey.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much, Sister JJ, for that reminder of what prayer can and will do. And a prayer that is aligned to the will of God. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else this morning that knows how God has just delivered you and how you are living testimony a living testimony of going through adversities and trials and just knowing that you're trusting God, that unwavering faith and trusting God, even when people came up and poked at you. So I don't know why you're doing that. I don't know why you keep doing that, why you keep talking to the Lord, why you keep doing this. But you know what? You can poke all day, all you want. I know. When you got a testimony, I know what God can do. You can say whatever you want. I know what God can do. So this is such an encouraging lesson this morning. The power of that steadfastness of faith and how God delivers, how God keeps us, even when our enemies are surrounding us, how he keeps us in the midst of it. Pastor Kuiper and I have shared many moments and many times where the enemy surrounded us, and we just had to continue. We had to stand on God's word, stand on God's promises, and stand on knowing what we were told to do. So this is a powerful lesson because it comes alive for me. It's not just read a story or reading the testimony of David, the psalmist this morning, but this actually, it comes alive for me this morning, knowing that God would never sideline me, knowing that God would never leave me behind when my steps get shorter or my eyesight may get a little bit dim. He won't sideline me. He still has work, Pastor Kuiper, for us to do, work to do. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Minister Singleton, it's a blessing when you can hear your children sit around and they are discussing God and how he has brought them through, that the things that they had gone through, even they have to say, we weren't listening. We thought we weren't listening, but truly we were listening because we have it. It was sinking in without us admitting that we were listening, because that the fruit is coming forth now.
You're absolutely right, Mother Cora. We see it. I mean, I've only met your daughter once, the one that brought you here to Macon, but I see it. It's the matter of when they were young, and all of us, you know, our children, they are like, well, why do we have to do this? Why are we doing this? And why don't we do the? Can I go out and play? Can I do this? And when they get the age that they are doing the same thing.
I know. They have to admit it themselves. You know, they said, oh. And
yes.
My youngest daughter, she always say, oh, I sound just like my mama. It's just such a blessing. But they say it with a joy, you know. And I thank God, because I know that I'm blessed. I know,
yes,
I am blessed. And when you know,
yes,
you're blessed, you better give God his glory and not try to walk in it.
You're so right, Mother Cora. I have a son, my youngest son, Michael James. And when he was a little fella, and Sister JJ and many of you all on the line know him. And when he was a little fella, and I asked him at church one Sunday, I said, son, I said, are you going to be on the, at that time, I said, the Easter program and something else I asked him. And he said to me, it just is clear. He said, you are trying to make me into a church worker. And today he is now, he's part of a ministry where he is, as well as he's volunteering, going into into a ministry similar to the YMCA, mentoring other young boys and that kind of thing. So we have to put it in them. We have to talk about it. We have to, and that also speaks to us as parents too, is that even in the midst of them saying they don't want to do it or don't want to hear it or whatever, we have to stay the course in terms of discipline as well as in terms of doing it. And I will say, even in the midst of, sometimes they may walk away, we might think, or move away, they know. They hear the voice. They will be back. You always say that, Mother Cora, and I believe that they will be back. They know what is right and what's wrong based upon the word of God. They know the word. They got the word. And so I'm one that's standing on that and believing that as well. So we have to see, when I see this psalmist and the way he talks and speaks to us this morning, Sister Wanda, he's talking to us. He's telling us, make your request known before God. But when you make the request known, you need to have a personal relationship with him. Everyone on this line has a personal relationship with me. Everyone. I can say that without a – you have a person. You don't call me and say, Deborah, Minister Deborah, this is such and such a person, and we met back in 1989, and blah. You don't go through all of that with me. You call me, and we just start talking. That's what God is saying. Develop this personal relationship with me. A relationship that you can talk with me anytime and anywhere. And that's what the psalmist says to us this morning. That trust, that faith that you have, that you can call me. You can depend on me. You can trust me. I'm there for you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. Pray with confidence. Brag on me. Know that I'm the source of your hope. And too many times I think where we get so disappointed, Mother Cora, is that we put so much trust in man.
Amen.
We put so much trust in a job, or so much trust in this financial adventure or investment, versus God saying, trust me. That's what Sister JJ had to do back in 2012. She had to put her trust in God, not the doctors. We pray for the doctors, but her trust was in God. And see what God has done and is doing. And when she looks back at 2012 and she looks at 2024 and having to go get another test or this test or whatever, her trust and faith is still in God. As a matter of fact, it's even stronger than it was in 2012 today. And this scripture in Psalms 37 and 25, and I hope I got it right, Pastor Kuiper, here's what it says. David says, I was young, and now I am old. Yet, Y-E-T,
I have never.
Somebody post this on your refrigerator. I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread.
Amen.
They are always generous and lend freely. Their children, notice this, will be blessed. If you want your children to be blessed, leave them a legacy. Leave them an inheritance of the word, where they will be able to tell their children, your grandmama, your mama, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, always went in the prayer closet. When I brought them a concern, they went in the prayer closet. They began to pray, and they gave me the word. That's the best legacy that we can leave our children. You want them to inherit something? Give them the word.
Amen. And you know, too, not cutting you off, Minister Singleton, but we have to let our children know that we didn't stay the course all the way.
Say it again. Yes, yes.
We have to let them know that,
yes,
we got off the course, but we had to come back.
Yes.
You know, and so, you know, because, see, you, some people make children think that they've been in this all the way. But all most of us know that we had to come back to God.
Yes, yes.
And I came running.
Whew.
And I let him know. You know, my first thing, I'm 21 now. I can do what I want to do, and I'm going to do what I want to do. And I did what I wanted to do. But, honey, tell me, when times got hard and I couldn't see my way, I knew I was out from under the cover. And I had to repent and come back to what I thought I was running away from.
Hallelujah.
So we can't let our young generation think that we walk from one to one just bump, 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 bump with no difficulties, no wrong decisions, that we just stayed goody good. No, we have to let them know that we had gone through something, and we had to come back and ask God to forgive us.
Hallelujah.
I think when you break it down to them like that, they have a better understanding, because they know where they are and what they have done, and then they won't have that fear of God not forgiving them for what they have done. They don't realize that God will forgive you.
Hallelujah.
But don't make it so difficult that they don't understand. If we don't do it, make it plain so that they can understand what we are saying, because sometimes we talk over the people and not to the people.
Hallelujah.
To God be the glory. I it's all good. Thank God for Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Mother Cora, in terms of that transparency that we need to have. And we don't want them to know that, but I want to let us know they already know.
They know.
And but we, as you are so right, but we as parents and grandparents, we get an opportunity to be able to minister to them from the perspective of let me be transparent with you. But Mother Cora, you brought a scripture to mind. It's just so powerful, and thank you. It says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins,
mm-hmm,
He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. They need to know that God is faithful, that God is just, and that God will forgive them and wash them and cleanse them and restore them.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Mother Cora. Thank you so much. Amen. Anyone else this morning before Uncle John comes on today? Thank you all so much. I pray that you receive much from the lesson I have just in the teaching and listening to the sharing this morning, this unwavering faith. Uncle John.
Good morning. Good.
Good morning, Uncle John.
Good morning. Everybody's sounding so good and gracious this morning.
Praise God.
Yeah, thanks to you. That's the devil. You panned it out this morning. You didn't leave nothing. You panned it out.
I left something for you, Uncle John. I left it. Come on, Holy Spirit.
You didn't leave nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I got morning, Minister Devil, Psalm 100, Morning prayer, Pastor Kuiper. Thank you. Song of praise, Brother Al. We come this far by faith. And Sister Wanda, read another word this morning. And Brother Alex, on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, you pan this one out, Sister Devils. So I'll find us a little something to gnaw on. Let's look at verse 17 and 18. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and you unto have I declared my wondrous work. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. Thou show thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come. We want to talk this morning. I just can't stop praising my God. I just can't stop praising my God. Mr. Debra, you talked about a solid Christian, but I'm just the object. I just can't stop praising my God. It is said that King David penned this song when he had grown old. He penned it for himself, and he penned it for his children. And also, he penned it for others, such as you and I. And he penned it for those who would follow him, although he was old, but he never mentioned no word of retirement. He never mentioned no word of stepping down from his kingship. Only thing he mentioned, I just can't stop praising my God. Let's look at that he gave to God. Lord, you are my refuge. Don't let me down. Save me from my enemies, for you are just. Rescue and bend down your ear and listen to my plea. Be to me a great protecting rock, where I'm always welcome and safe from all attacks. For you have issued the order to save me. Rescue me, O God, from these unjust and cruel men. O Lord, you alone are my hope. I've trusted you from childhood. Yes, you have been with me from birth and helped me constantly. No wonder I'm always praising you. My success, at which many stand amazed, is because you are my mighty protector. All day long I will praise and honor you, O God, for that all you have done for me. And now in my old age, don't set me aside. Now when my strength is failing, my enemies are whispering, God has forsaken him. Now we can get him. There's no one to help him now. Oh God, don't stay away. Come quickly. Help. Destroy them. Cover them with failure and disgrace. These enemies of mine, I will keep on expecting you to help me, and I will praise you more and more. And I count the time when you faithfully rescued me from danger. I'll tell everyone how good you are. Constant daily care. I walk in the strength, Lord God. I tell everyone that you alone are just and good. Oh, God, you have helped me from my earliest childhood. Testify to others wonderful things you do to tell this new generation and their children, too, all about your mighty miracles, power, and goodness. Lord, reach to the highest heaven. You have done such wonderful things. Where is another God like you? Another God like you. But I tell you, King, what I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to praise him in the morning. I'm going to praise him again at noon.
Yes.
Praise him in the evening.
Yes.
My heart in tune. Because I can't stop. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Woo! Amen. Can't stop. Just can't stop. Just can't stop. Praise in his name.
Hallelujah.
No other
Hallelujah.
Way. There's no other way.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
There's not another God like you.
Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah. Glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Back over to you, Pastor Kuiper. Hallelujah.
Praise God. I'm just so amazed and overwhelmed when I hear all of you share. Thank you, Mother Cooper. Thank you, Uncle John. Thank you, Dr. Singleton. All the saints on the line. Sure, it's been a glorious time of fellowship with one another, praising our God, sharing scripture, and hearing a word from the Lord, and hearing how God is going to minister better. There are probably some things we need to just mention as we move toward our close. Of course, this afternoon at 7 p.m., we'll be on the line with the ministry. I would assume that Apostle Asaiah may be ministering the word tonight, so we want to invite you all back this evening to participate in that fellowship of believers and just be blessed to God for even more that God can give us. Because what an awesome God. We can't stop praising him. We praise him in the morning. We praise him in the noonday. We praise him in the evening. Just can't stop praising our God. We praise him at the nighttime, even in the midnight hour. Praise our God, because he's worthy of our praise. And he's so awesome, we can't stop praising. Thank you all today for this lesson. Minister Sinks, I don't know if there's any other announcements we may have, the specific you may have, or anyone else, any other saints on the line.
No other announcements from us. Again, just want to thank all of you for being here on today. Continue to read this Psalm 71. Make it a part of your prayer. Of your prayer life. It is certainly a lot of principles there that lines up. We want to pray according to God's will. And I was just blessed by reading it over and over again. And to know this, that as I do get older, I know that God, again, has not sidelined us. He will not leave us. He will not forget us. And he will not forsake us. And Mother Cora, he'll open up other doors for us to be able to minister through and minister in, because there's always some little boy, some little girl, some man or woman that needs to hear the word of God, the message of the good news of salvation. And I know that God has placed us in these various places for us to be able to do that. So be encouraged this morning. Continue with your personal relationship and your personal walk. Nurture it all through the day and through the week. And know this, that I, you, have found a proven resource in the Lord, which enables us to be strong on the inside, even though our bodies may be growing weaker on the outside. Know this, that God is with us and we can rely on him. Amen. Amen. Again, thank you, Pastor Kuiper, for coming alongside us on today for facilitating our session. We're going to ask Mother Cora if she would close us out today in her own way. I'm going to ask if she would sing a bit of any song that she desires this morning, and as well as close us out with prayer. Amen.
Go ahead.
I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear be burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. Jesus will help me. Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. Jesus will help me. Jesus alone. Now, Father, we come now thanking you for this day, thanking you for this time. Thanking you for opening up our eyes, O Heavenly Father, and our ears that we can hear what you are saying to us, and we can read and study your word, that it will sink deep into our hearts, that we can go forth and share it with others. We continue to thank you for opening up this line, O Heavenly Father, knowing that someone is listening and someone is going to hear the truth and come crying, what must I do to be saved? Thank you, Father, for always being with us, because you said in your word that in the time of trouble, you're already there. You're here. You're here with us. Thank you, Father, for always giving your love and sharing your love with all. You're not selfish. You have no respected person. We just continue to give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor. For it's always in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all so much again for joining with us. And in the words of Uncle John on today, I just can't stop praising my God. Amen. Let us continue to praise him. Let us continue to worship him. Best way to worship him is to walk in obedience, carrying out Matthew 28:19-20, as we love one another. Amen. Thank you all again for joining us here at the Gathering Place Beyond the Walls. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless.
Amen.